Okay, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Lord, be with us now as we get into your word and study it. Lord, help us to get out of it what you intend for us to get. Help us to be attentive to it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in chapter 4. We're going to just do verses 1 through 8 tonight. And this is going to give us some information about the great falling away that's going to happen. Maybe how we should behave during those times, what we can do to bring glory to the Lord during that time. So I'm going to start at verse 1. Yes. It could be.
Does it mean all over the world are killing Christians? I've never seen that before.
Right.
You know, and Bob's teaching on the AA, thinking that the beginning of the Great Falling Away.
Sure. Sure we could.
Thank you.
Curtis?
Now that he mentioned that, means that we're looking at this, where it says to abstain from eating meats. You hear that from the World Economic Forum. Because of our climate change, we should eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
And this says in the latter days here. Hello.
Verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. The latter times, or the latter days, of which the Holy Spirit is speaking, is the time from the first coming of Christ until His return. The latter days started with His coming, and so it's been going on for nearly, in excess of 2,000 years. Basically, the whole New Testament time frame is the latter days. So we're coming to the end of the latter days. That's what we're looking at. Acts 2:17 says this, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." And then 1 John 2:18 adds this, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that this is the last hour." Many Antichrists is referring to demons. There are demons out there. Oh, we don't talk about demons much anymore. But they're out there. They still exist. We still have to deal with them.
Dan,
yes.
That's why there's seducing spirits and
minds. Okay, so
that's why they're conscious.
Hang on to that thought. "You have heard of the leading teachers of error, the Roman Catholic Church. Would be one. Church of Latter-day Saints would be another. Jehovah's Witnesses. And there are many others, but everyone who advocates their teachings and belief is a promoter of the doctrine of Antichrist. Any so-called Christian teacher or denomination that adds any salvation by works, doesn't matter what it is, such as baptismal regeneration, glossolalia, speaking in tongues, or Christ and whatever to be saved. It's not Christ and whatever, it's Christ alone.
Amen.
Call on the name of Jesus and you will be saved. There's nothing to add to it. So when you add those things to it, you become a promoter of the Antichrist idea. And to be saved, Let's see. Such baptism for him. To be saved is teaching doctrine of the Antichrist. These are all doctrines of demons. Now, we don't think of them that way. We just kind of accept them. Why do we do that? Because they're traditional. Those denominations have been around for thousands of years, a couple of thousand years. So, it's no big deal. That's just the way they do things. No. It's against Christ. What they're teaching is against Christ. And we need to recognize it that way. Verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Not that demons themselves, now this is what I'm saying about this verse. Not that demons themselves are speaking and leading people, no, that's not what we're saying. But demons put these ideas into the minds of people and groups of people who then adopt, promote, and indoctrinate these ideas into an anti-Christian religion. And then they start teaching that and they trap people in it. They draw them in. They mislead other people. Now, they may not even think of it that way. I'm sure they don't think of it that way. They think they're doing a good work. But they're trapping people in a lie, a demonic lie. All of those people have been deceived. They don't know it, but they've been deceived. Their minds have been cauterized and scarred so the truth cannot enter. Well, that's what the enemy wants. He doesn't want the truth to enter into them. These are the people that Scripture says in the book of Jude to save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. The fire is the deception. That's the fire. They're being caught up in that deception. The garment is the erroneous work to perpetuate the deception. They have to do things. They have to perform certain rites. They have to say certain things. They have to confess certain things in a certain way. There's all kinds of rules and regulations. Those are being perpetuated to trap these people into these false religions, anti-Christian religions. These people need to be saved from the deception. Would you agree? Isn't that what the Lord wants?
Yes.
He wants us to promote His gospel even to those people that have their minds seared against Him. It's our mission that He gave us to go and give the gospel. Do you think it will work? Doesn't matter what you think. God didn't say... Jesus didn't say, go to the people you think it'll work for. No, He said, go. Go and make disciples. So He wants them all to hear His gospel. These people need to be saved. They must be given the gospel of Christ repeatedly with the hope that the Holy Spirit will get the message through somehow. I heard a person say the other day, you read the Bible and you don't understand it. What are you supposed to do? Read it again. Asking the Lord to give you understanding. And read it again. And read it again. Keep in it until the Lord speaks to you and gets through to you what He wants you to have. Verse 3, here's some more aspects of these anti-Christian religions. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. marriage regulations, food laws. These are examples of misleading rules and regulations purported to increase holiness. No, it's not going to increase holiness. Of course, they are worthless. God said marriage and all food received with thanksgiving are good.
Amen.
That's the truth of God's holy word. That's what God said. When you know the truth, you are set free to choose holiness, God's way, through Jesus Christ. That's how you choose it. You go to Christ. You call on the name of the Lord. What happens? You receive the Holy Spirit. He teaches you as you give yourself over to His teaching. You have a part in it. You have to make yourself available to the Holy Spirit. He's there. He's not going to grab you by the neck and shake you and make you do things. No, that's not His way. His way is love. And so He's there to love you and love you into doing what you need to do. So give in to the Holy Spirit so that you can learn God's way and walk in the Spirit. Verse 4, for every creature of God is good. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about good for food. We're talking about food. Every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, there are many animals that I wouldn't be caught dead eating. Okay? Just not going to do it. Sorry. When we used to go down to the Florida Keys with our kids were little, right? And you hand them a Hawaiian sling, you know, a spear gun, and they jump in the water and away they go, and they're going to start shooting stuff. So before they get in the water, you say, here's the number one rule. Whatever you shoot, you must bring back to the boat so we can cook it and you can eat it. So whatever you shoot, you're going to eat. Keep that in mind. It did help. So, God says all of these things are good and should be received with thanks. Or no thanks, I guess you could say too, if you didn't want to eat it. Thank you, God, but I'm going to pass on this one. God's word and prayer set the food apart from Old Testament food restrictions so they may be consumed for our good. So here is the New Testament setting aside those messianic food laws so that you can have your nourishment. Right? Now, you might have a hard time convincing some of the Jewish people of that, but that's exactly what's happening. Sanctification is dedicating something to God for holy use. This is why we pray over our meals, sanctifying them and thanking God for them. Okay? Verse 6, If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. This, of course, is Paul speaking directly to Timothy, but also to us. And what is he saying here? Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's what words of faith are in that verse. It's the word of God. Words of faith are the word of God. That's what we're to preach and teach. And that's what we're to speak to others, to preach and teach to them. Good ministers give instruction from God's word about God's Word. You teach the Word. That's the job. Fellowship is great, yet our primary reason to meet is to get wisdom and encouragement from God through His Word. We all enjoy the fellowship, but that's not the primary reason we should be coming. We should be coming to take in God's Word and be encouraged by it, and then go out and use it to encourage others. That's our mission. And hopefully some of them, having not been real familiar with it, will be moved to the point of accepting Jesus as Savior. Amen?
Amen.
We must be faithful to study God's Word so that we can walk more closely with Him in the Spirit. Probably the number one reason most people don't want to go out and witness is because they don't feel like they're knowledgeable enough in God's Word. How do you solve that?
Read His Word.
Study His Word. Ask Him to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to be with you. God Himself says the Holy Spirit will give you words to speak. You ever think of it this way? If the Holy Spirit gives you words to speak, those are God's words. They're coming from God. So don't be afraid. Speak the truth, even if they don't want to hear it. With love, speak the truth. And if they don't want to hear it, let them go. Verse 7. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. Profane fables refers to false teaching. Profane, you know, that's where we get our word profanity. We don't want to hear it. It's false. And old wives' fables is worldly knowledge that's handed down from generation to generation. A worldly knowledge substituting these for God's wisdom. And it's spiritual death. Only God's Word gives spiritual life. Not what grandma said. Unless she's speaking God's Word. Right? All false teaching must be identified and avoided as you search for truth in God's Word. No doubt this wasn't the first church you ever went to and attended. In every church you go into, you listen to the speakers and you have to judge, are they really preaching God's Word? Are they true to the Word or not? And if they're not, just kindly excuse yourself. No sense getting all excited and trying to change them, because they probably won't. But you can pray for them. You know, put them in your prayers. Put them on your prayer list. The responsibility falls on us. Each of us must be responsible for reading, studying, meditating on God's Word in order to avoid error and respond to God's Word appropriately. Read it and study it as often as you can, and you'll start seeing things that you never saw before. The Holy Spirit will open up your eyes to things that you never saw before. Sandy?
I was just going to say that the Bible teaches that the words of the Bible are foolishness to those who don't know Christ as their personal Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've accepted Christ and are born again, then the Holy Spirit will teach you what's right. But if you're later, is not born again Christian, what he teaches, he may think is right, but he has no way of being led by the Holy Spirit.
That's true. That's absolutely right. Curtis?
There's a reason for that, because they're carnal minded.
That's right. Then they have the Spirit leading them. So, what do you say to an unsaved person? Because they don't see the Word of God as being valuable. What would you say to them?
Jesus loves you.
There you go. Do you know Jesus loves you? And of course, they're going to say something foolish, so just be ready for it. Okay. But you got to keep it simple and quick. Because they're not going to listen to you long because they don't think it's worth hearing. All right? And if it's somebody you're going to encounter more than once, you get more opportunities. So you don't have to unload on them in one shot. You know you're going to see him again. Give him a little today. Give him a little more tomorrow. Every day, give him a little more, a little more, a little more. And then just for the fun of it, skip a day and see what they do. Maybe they'll say, "What's the matter with you today? You didn't say anything about Jesus." "Oh, glad you reminded me." Then you can tell them, see? Play some mind games with them. Make it enjoyable, right? So reject those things that are not God's Word and use God's Word to promote Jesus. Because those people need salvation. They need it. And we all know they need it. So we have no excuse, do we?
That's the new lost. Yeah. The lost can't get saved.
That's right. Exactly. So it's up to us to make that knowledge known. In love. Lovingly do it. And then verse 8 says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Right? Now, when we read that, "For bodily exercise profits a little," what are you thinking? "Oh, well, there's my excuse. There's no need to exercise. It doesn't do much good anyway. So why bother?" But that's not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying, right? It's saying bodily exercise is good for the body. It's good for the body and a little bit for your spirit. Bodily exercise is more beneficial to your body, but it doesn't do much for your spirit. It might make you feel good because you got up and did it that day when you didn't want to. But that's about it. Yet godliness, well, it's also limited to the here and now. Doesn't do you any good moving on into eternity. You're going to get a new body if you're a believer. And I'm not even going to talk about what's going to happen if you're not a believer. But you're not going to be worried about that body, I don't think, too much. So, godliness is the exercise of walking in the Spirit. It's the exercise of walking in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? What do you have to do? There you go. Betos. So what do you have to do to obey God's Word? You have to be in it. You have to be studying it. You have to be memorizing. You have to be meditating. Then you'll be able to walk in the Spirit. And that will do you good here and there. Both places. You'll have good results. Walking in the Spirit profits your body, soul, and spirit. It profits your whole existence. It means your entire being will be profited, will be benefited by it. And it's good for your life now and for eternity. Amen. Amen. Be in the Word. So you can be of the Word. Do you have any comments or questions? We'll direct those to Curtis. I think it is. All right, then in that case, we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Thank you, Father, for your Word. You made sure we would have it. You went to great lengths to get it recorded so that we could carry it around with us wherever we go. Very convenient nowadays, Lord. So help us to be in it Every chance we get, meditating, having our mind in it, Lord, and using it as you intended, as the sword of the Lord to cut through all that scar tissue of a brain that has been so badly turned against you. Help us, Lord, to operate with love and hope that salvation will come to that person, and then build our faith as we do it, as we live for you and walk in your Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.